Dr. Nerida McKibben joins us on today's episode of Wake Up with Hope to share health news you ought to know.
We'll also have another inspiring Reflections of Hope episode, and Pastor Mark Finley will join us to share a devotional thought for the weekend.
Come along with us. Good morning and happy Friday, and welcome to a new episode of Wake Up with Hope.
Good morning to you on this lovely summer day, friends. How did you spend your 4th of July? I bet many of you went to see the fireworks.
Yes.
It's always so much fun. Well, hopefully you got a little bit of time to relax and spend time doing something you love. Summer is now in full bloom, and we would love to see what that looks like in your area. So send us a picture on our Wake Up with Hope Facebook page. We love hearing from you.
You know, warmer days are ahead, and we want to share the warmth of Jesus' love with you today as we have blessings galore in today's program. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1865, in the East End of London, William Booth and his wife Catherine founded the Christian Mission, later renowned as the Salvation Army. Booth, a revivalist preacher, was determined to combat poverty and religious apathy with military precision. Modeled after the British Army, the Christian Mission appointed uniformed ministers as officers and new adherents as recruits. William and Catherine Booth emulated Christ's love by serving the marginalized. God calls us, too, to recognize that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. His selfless sacrifice offers us the ultimate example of love in action. As we strive to follow in His footsteps, may we be empowered by His grace to bring hope and healing to a world in need.
And today we challenge you to give up something for someone else's good. Maybe it's a homeless person you pass by every day, or simply giving up time on social media to lend a listening ear to someone or spend quality time with loved ones. You know, whatever it is, make a sacrifice for someone else today. You know, walk boldly in the footsteps of our Savior, knowing that He has equipped you with everything you need to fulfill your mission of love and compassion.
Amen. Well, how about a little health news, friends? Dr. Nerida McKibben from Go Healthy for Good joins us today for today's dose of health news.
In the headlines today, gout flares cardiovascular risk, physical activity slows cognitive decline, and down on sleep, up on weight. Inflammation is an important risk factor for cardiovascular disease, and gout is a common inflammatory condition that affects 4% of the US population. So, researchers analyzed data in the Clinical Practice Research Datalink database of 15 million people in the UK and found that among people with gout, those who experienced a heart attack, stroke, or other cardiovascular event had a much higher odds of a recent gout flare in the preceding days. This suggests that having a flare of gout is associated with a temporary increase in the risk of cardiovascular events. So be sure to focus on a low inflammation, healthy diet for a few weeks after any flare of gout, and perhaps stay on it long term. Researchers from the Rush Institute for Healthy Aging and the University of California have released a study finding physical activity slows cognitive decline. The study looked at neurofilament light protein levels, which are a marker of nerve fiber damage and are used to monitor the progression of a wide range of neurological conditions, including Alzheimer's disease. The higher the levels, the more neurological damage. Researchers tracked levels over time in a group of 1,100 adults and found that those who began the study with high levels and were more physically active had slower rates of cognitive decline than those who were relatively inactive. Medium and high physical activity were associated with a 12% and 36% slower rate of cognitive decline, respectively. Those who started the study with low levels of neurofilament light protein and medium physical activity had a 43% slower rate of cognitive decline. So to protect our brains, let's exercise regularly. The Journal of the American College of Cardiology recently published a study out of Mayo Clinic, reporting results from an experiment aiming to clarify if sleep deprivation alone, with no other environmental factors, can trigger weight gain. 12 healthy non-obese people completed a 21-day stay as inpatients and included periods where they were limited to 4 hours sleep a night and other times when they were allowed 9 hours sleep a night. The participants were repeatedly measured for calorie consumption, energy expenditure, weight, fat distribution, and circulating biomarkers. With only 4 hours of sleep a night, people ate more calories but did not increase their energy expenditure, resulting in weight gain and a substantial increase in abdominal fat. So next time you need to flatten your tummy, sleep well and be active. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
We hope you're enjoying our program this morning. Visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to look back at recent episodes and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel.
And don't forget, you can always check us out on our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with an inspiring Reflections of Hope episode. Stay with us.
What if the most dangerous paths led to the most picture-perfect destinations? Would you be willing to take that road? Would you dare to discover the beauty beyond the peril? Let's join Taj Pakleb as he takes us to a little island near Bali in Indonesia to discover why we may just want to take the daring road.
They say that difficult roads lead to beautiful destinations. In no place have I seen this to be truer than the enchanting Indonesian island of Nusa Penida. Just 22 miles off the coast of Bali, Nusa Penida is a world within a world within a world. Visiting here is like going back to the simple days of the past. The roads are raw and the paths are perilous, but the breathtaking views and dreamy destinations are some of the most awe-inspiring my eyes have ever seen. There are so many natural hidden gems scattered throughout the island. Both far above and well below the surface, you find a sweet sight for sore eyes. One iconic destination is Kelingking Beach. Here, the wild turquoise sea meets the golden sand, creating a mesmerizing contrast. The sea cliffs soar high above the secluded beach, resembling the shape of a T-Rex dinosaur. The ocean swells roll in from two directions, clashing with the cliff walls, creating mesmerizing movement and peaceful patterns that inspire the heart. The misty salt in the atmosphere diffuses the light of the setting sun and spreads a soft golden glow in the atmosphere. It literally feels like you're in a beautiful dream. It is one of the most photogenic places on Earth. Each angle and perspective is like a Nat Geo picture. But to get there requires an almost vertical climb up and down a 600-foot cliff. A dangerous path, oh, but a dreamy destination. As you go further and deeper into the island, you will be captivated by the pristine beauty of Diamond Beach, the romantic sunsets of Crystal Bay, the creative coves of Broken Beach, the triangled rocky pyramids of Utah Beach, and the black manta rays that congregate at the southwest point. From thrilling adventures to aesthetic tranquility, Nusa Penida offers a unique experience for every traveler. From the mainland of Bali, the only way to reach Nusa Penida is a short trip by speedboat. Once you're on the island, the only thing left to do is explore, but not so fast, because the thing that makes Nusa Penida different is its rough roads. In fact, this island has some of the most dangerous roads in the world. When you break away from the well-paved routes on the main road and head to the remote destinations, the path starts to get really rough. These roads have fallen victim to the harsh erosion. The paths are full of potholes and steep drop-offs. Traveling on the roads of Nusa Penida demands your full attention. The twists and turns require you to be hyper-focused. The steep inclines and drop-offs are super scary. The unpredictable conditions of the roads are constantly changing. Some parts may be washed out or under construction. navigation can be sketchy with limited cell phone service. To put it simply, the rugged roads of Nusa Penida are not for the faint of heart, nor for those who are afraid of heights. There are no guardrails, no streetlights, no light reflectors, and minimal street signs. Most scary of all is that cars don't mind taking up most of the space on your side of the road. Staying in your lane isn't an option here. There are many blind corners and hardly any room for oncoming traffic. But these are the only paths that lead to the gems all over the island. These are dangerous roads, but these are the roads to new revelations, the ways of absolute wonder. Perilous paths, packed with profound lessons for life. You see, the roads of Nusa Penida are in many ways like the pathways of life. Each one is different, each with its own unique challenges and difficulties. But with those chaotic conditions come new opportunities for discovery and new potential for growth. Some paths seem to lead to nowhere, but each path has a purpose and a lesson to teach. Each road has a destination. Some may be more spectacular than others, but each destination has a different view with a distinct revelation.
Mahalo to whoever cut these steps out of the mountain, because this view is special. Here we go. Beautiful, beautiful destinations, but dangerous paths. Let's go explore some more.
Life is filled with different paths that take form in different areas: career, recreation, relationships, education, and the many opportunities that come our way. At times, we may find the path paved and smooth with ease and comfort. During these times of ease, we're satisfied with serenity along these stretches, making our hearts glad and our spirits soar. But at some point, we will undoubtedly encounter roads with potholes and ditches, challenges and trials, headaches and heartbreaks. And to navigate through the perilous and unpredictable pathways of life, we must remain hyper-focused, and we must learn to adapt to its ever-changing conditions. At times, you might find that one road isn't for you. That's okay. You never know until you explore. U-turns are permitted on the roads of life. The point is this: don't stay in one place, no matter how beautiful the view might be. There's still so much more to discover and so much more to experience in life. So don't be afraid to try a new road. You never know who you will meet along the way and what new lesson that person is meant to teach you. So get outside of your comfort zone and don't allow the dangers of the way to deter you from experiencing something different and something new. Don't be afraid to take the road less traveled and learn to welcome and embrace new encounters, new people, new ideas, new discoveries with a brave heart and an open mind. But just like the perilous pathways of Nusa Penida that requires its explorers to be mindful, we too need to be careful when we head down the road of life. So today I encourage you to keep your eyes open for both the dangers and the delights along the way. The more roads you take, the greater will be your perspective. The greater your perspective, the broader your vision. The broader your vision, the more accurate your discernment. And the more accurate your discernment, the greater your gratitude and appreciation for life. The more roads you travel, the more you realize that there are some destinations that only have one route. Then there are other destinations that have many ways to arrive. And if someone gets to the same destination a different way than you, it's okay. Just be grateful that there's a path available to all, no matter where they are in the way. The more paths you travel, the more you realize that we're all in this together. And when we look upon each other, not as competitors, but as fellow travelers along the way, the journey will be far more satisfying. So keep exploring all the paths that God places in front of you. Learn the lessons found in every way, the easy ones and the hard ones too. And as you continue to move forward in this journey called life, I hope one day to see you along my way.
Coming up after the break, a moving devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us this morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought with Pastor Mark Findlay. You know, we always enjoy these power-packed devotionals that fill our hearts with courage as we walk with Jesus.
The book of Proverbs is not some theoretical book to place on our shelf and pull off occasionally to debate about. The book of Proverbs presents practical principles for living. Our proverb for today is in Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand." In other words, often we have plans and make plans for ourselves. But if we'd spend a moment trusting God, He will give us guidance and direction. In verse 27, it says, "Cease listening to instruction." That's the instruction of God's Word, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the wise counsel of others. "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you'll stray from the words of knowledge." In other words, God longs to give us guidance. Now, there are four principles, four essential principles of guidance in Scripture. Now, have you ever wondered, with the bewildering array of voices in our world, how you can ever receive guidance from God? There are four principles of guidance. First, God guides us through the impressions of His Holy Spirit. There are times that we will pray, and God impresses us through His Spirit what we ought to do. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally." So God impresses our hearts. Now, what's the difference between a divine impression and a fleeting emotion? A fleeting emotion often comes very quickly, and it's gone. A divine impression is a growing, constant awareness that God wants us to do something. So impressions can be very definite. They're very certain, and they last. Emotions are fleeting. Now, the more important the decision you have to make, the more it's important to take time to make that decision. I don't have to take much time to decide what kind of tie I'm going to wear today or what kind of shirt I'm going to wear. But if my decision is on marriage, if my decision is on a life vocation, if my decision is on moving my home and my whole family from one part of the country to the other, that decision is made over time as we seek God in prayer and listen for the impressions of His Spirit upon our heart, the deep convictions. But that's not sufficient enough, because at times we may confuse our human ideas for God's plan. Isn't that what Proverbs is saying here in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21? "There are many plans in a man's heart." In other words, I might have an impression to do something. It may be my own plan. "Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand." So how does God guide us? He does guide us through the impressions of His Holy Spirit. But God also guides us through the instruction of His Word. So I want to be sensitive to the Word of God. I want to ask God, "Is there anything in Your Word that will give me guidance here?" John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." So is there something in the truth of God's Word that will guide me in this decision that I'm going to make? Two young people come to me and they want to be married. One of the young persons is, the young man is a committed Christian. Maybe the young woman is not. What counsel do I give them? Well, certainly I give them the counsel to wait. I offer them the opportunity to study the Word of God with them. But I remind them as well that, as the book of Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so I help them to understand the wisdom that comes from God, that He wants to guide them, but He wants them in His Word to be agreed, because if they're not agreed spiritually or religiously, they will have constant conflict. Thirdly, God guides us through the providences or circumstances of life. There's a lot of time that God opens a door, and we know this is the time to move through it. Other times He shuts the door. So how does God guide us? Through prayer, the impressions of His Spirit. How does God guide us? He guides us through His Word. He guides us, thirdly, through providences of life. And lastly, God guides us through the counsel or instruction of others. I have seen this in my own life, specifically. I was not brought up in a Seventh-day Adventist home. But as I grew older, I was 17 years old. My father was a Protestant. My mother was a Catholic growing up. And when I was 17 years old, Dad had become a Seventh-day Adventist about 4 years before. And I was struggling with a lot of decisions. I loved sports, played basketball on the City League teams, both for the YMCA and our City Leagues. And there was one occasion where we formed a team from the city that was to play in the regional championships. Now, to play in those regional championships was what was called an elimination tournament. It meant that you went to the tournament on a Wednesday, practiced on Thursday morning. You played your first game Thursday night. Then you played another game on Friday or Friday night. Then semifinals on Sabbath and Saturday, and finals on a Saturday night. I couldn't wait to go. I was so excited about going to that tournament. And, you know, I had never traveled much before. We didn't come from a family that had a lot, so I didn't travel. And I thought staying in a hotel, you know, I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school. And I said, my, and to eat in restaurants and to travel, to stay in hotel, I'll probably never travel any place in my life if I turn this down. And I was just excited about going. I had just begun studying the Bible with my father and with other Seventh-day Adventists, had been to some evangelistic meetings, and I had accepted the Sabbath. But I rationalized in my mind. I said, you know, well, I will go, but if we don't win on Thursday, I'm going to come home anyway. And if we don't win on Friday, I'll come home. But all of a sudden, it was nagging at me, you know, nagging at me that I was compromising in some way, because I knew that if we won those earlier games, that the pressure would be on and I have to stay. I will never forget that day. You know, there are some things that are just indelibly impressed upon your mind. I went to the Norwich Free Academy, which was one of the larger high schools. We had 3,200 students in our high school. There were 500 in my class, 500 kids in my class. And I was coming down the hallway, and we had payphones in the hallway, and I thought, I was troubled about this. Should I go? Should I not go? I was looking for the guidance of God. And I remembered an old lady in our church, very godly, Frances Parisi. And I went and I called Frances. I said, Frances, I'm really struggling with this decision. Can you help me? I'm supposed to go and play basketball with my team. And we go on a Thursday, but I don't play on Sabbath. And we go on Friday. But then if we win those two games, we'll be playing on Sabbath. And I'll never forget Frances' words. She simply said to me, Mark, what would Jesus do? Who do you really want to please in your life, your team or Jesus? Thank you, Frances. I knew what my decision was going to be. I knew that I had to please Jesus. And I told my team that I was not going to go. And you know, I've sensed that God leads you to the right people to get instruction from. Find some wise, godly counselors in your life. Not people that'll tell you what you want to hear, but people that'll share with you the truth of God, and you will be a blessed man, a blessed woman.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
Sure was. And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the new week together. So don't forget to join us on Monday at 7 a.m. Our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. We'll have a delicious summer recipe, music from Christian Paul, and more. You don't want to miss it. And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
We want to give you a Bible promise today so you can take it into your weekend and be blessed. The Bible promise that we have today is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3.
It says, "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one."
I love
Beautiful.
It.
Beautiful.
You know, friend, is there anything more to say? The Lord is faithful. He is trustworthy, and he has promised to guard us from the evil one. His name is Satan, but we have a faithful God to cling to, and he will give us power to face anything that the enemy throws at us. So we truly hope you have a great weekend, and we can't wait to see you on Monday. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how thankful we are, Lord, for not only the victory, but strength to embrace that victory and to claim it and to believe it. And we pray, Lord, that as we go throughout this day, that we would live with a victorious identity. May we know that in Christ, the devil has been overcome, and that we can live with joy in our hearts today. So thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.